For decades, the city of Bloomington grew by sprawl, with subdivisions pulling the community east or to the southwest. Last night, the Bloomington City Council took the first step in the other direction. They approved a study of an idea from Councilmember Jamie Mathey to create incentives to encourage the remodeling of existing properties or new construction in infill areas in the core of the city. Bloomington's Planning Commission will help flesh out the idea. In this conversation with WGLT's Ryan Denham, Planning Commissioner Chair Tyson Moore says it's an important issue.
With the current housing market, ARPA funds, so many people working from home, Rivian, many other things, there's going to be pressure to grow and change. And Alderman Mathey's spot on that sprawl is dangerous for our community. That's true socially, it's true financially. So unless we make some deliberate choices to change the way that we do things, we're going to fall back into the well-worn development pattern that we've been using for the last several decades. And that's a development pattern that's bankrupting cities across the country.
Can you expand on that? How does that happen? How does sprawl bankrupt cities?
Yeah, it's a really complicated problem, but here's how I think of it. Most of the city's expenses are based on distance or area. So you think about things like streets, sewers, water, police and fire protection, parks. Whenever the area that they're covering gets bigger, it gets more expensive to do that. On the other hand, most of the city's revenues are based on population or people who are there, sales tax, motor fuel tax, usage fees, things like that. So with sprawl, what you have is a large geographical area where people are very spread out. So you don't have enough money to cover the cost of taking care of things. So this, in my view, is the primary reason why our streets and sewers are in such a state of disrepair. We just have too many of them compared to the population that we have to support them.
Okay, so if you're thinking about the cost of city services, so what you've sort of laid out would be kind of the fiscally conservative case for this sort of approach, leaning more inward than sprawl. What about the political flip side of that? What is at stake here for older, poorer neighborhoods that historically have not received as much attention?
I think there's a ton at stake for the older communities. When you're posed with the choice between funding new construction on the periphery of the city or funding construction on the inside of the city, the insides of the cities have lost out. And that's resulted in people who don't have the means to buy the new construction being put in a place where there's disinvestment in their communities. You can think of it as sprawl extracting wealth from poorer communities to fund these newer communities. By contrast, if you do infill, you don't get posed with that dilemma. You are able to create new places for people to live in the existing areas so that when you upgrade the sewers or the roads, you're benefiting not just the people who currently live there, you're benefiting the new residents who come in. So think about maybe an example to talk, infill is a word that we bat around. Let me talk about an example real quick. I've got a very large backyard at my house. It is large enough that I could have another house in my backyard if I wanted to. If I built that house back there, connected it to city services, that would require essentially no additional costs to the city. The sewer's already here, the roads are already here, police, brush pickup, fire protection, everything's already out here at my house. You would just have an additional house with a resident in it who is a taxpayer and who's, contributing to the revenue side of things. Furthermore, that's beneficial from a social aspect. If you think about people who have aging parents, I could build a small structure in my backyard. The technical term for that's an accessory dwelling unit. But regardless, I could build a small house for her out back. My mom could live with us on our property. She could take care of the kids. We could take care of her. And we could strengthen our social ties as a community as well that way.
That type of thing is not only not encouraged, but not exactly legal either, right?
Correct. We're not currently allowed to have accessory dwelling units or to build secondary structures on our properties. And that was something that was brought up at the meeting by Alderman Crable in particular. And I think something that the Planning Commission should really take a look at. That's one of the things I anticipate us discussing as part of this request.
So this emphasis on infill, why hasn't this been our approach all along? What are the forces that have favored sprawl versus infill development historically in the city?
after World War II, the United States was able to achieve a lot of prosperity with top-down planning by centralizing financial systems and planning approaches. We were able to be very efficient. We were able to efficiently build large numbers of houses in a uniform way. And that has resulted in a lot of apparent prosperity for us. We have built a lot of houses. There's more homeowners now than there were then. The issue is the long-term financial consequences of that and the long-term social consequences of that.
So Councilmember Matthew did a lengthy Facebook post over the weekend about this idea. One of the things he wrote is that sprawl is incredibly dangerous to our community. There are a lot of people, though, who live on the east side or the far southwest side of Bloomington who, you know, who bought homes in this sprawl that we're talking about. How do you get them on board with a shift like this when someone is calling their home buying decisions incredibly dangerous? That's kind of a loaded term, isn't it?
I think it's important to remember that this isn't about an individual person. It's not about an individual homeowner. And it's not about any of the people involved in the system at all. It's a system that was set up and tried. It's nationwide. It's been used in every city across the country. And it was based on good intent. It was based on the idea that we would create nice, comfortable homes for people to live in. And that's what it did. You need to be able to look at the financial consequences of that. You need to make sure that people are paying the costs associated with the things that are being built.
That's Bloomington Planning Commission Chair Tyson Moore speaking with WGLT's Ryan Denham. As part of this, Moore says he expects the commission to discuss accessory dwelling units and upzoning, or what it takes to increase the number of people allowed to live on a property.